You just want to hop into it, man?
Sure, let's just jump into it. I think we've got a few things and limited time. Quite a lot to talk about, not much time, so let's just, yeah, let's go.
Let me do my shitty intro. Common Knowledge Podcast, just a man doing the best he can with what he got. And I have been going through a funk. I have to admit that recently I felt like streaming is dead. It's boring, it's stale, and entertainment in general is stale. And to try to talk me off the ledge or confirm what I'm feeling, I call the resident Common Knowledge TV and everything entertainment specialist, Daniel Brandon, back to the show. Daniel, how you doing, bro?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back. It's been, what, like a year since I've been on last, I think.
It hasn't been that long, has it?
It's been close to that, yeah. Things got busy.
Oh, man, then we're both garbage. Mainly me for not having you back. You are Bradley. I need to have you guys on regularly. That needs to be a thing. But here's the thing. I'm sorry with Marvel first. Not just Marvel, just hero movies in general. I feel like we've jumped a shark. I feel like they're getting bored. I watched Doctor Strange 2. Well, not 2. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. And this was built up. It was built for the last 2 years. It was dropping hints. I felt like they were dangling the carrot in front of my face and saying, hey, everything's going to the multiverse. You know, I watched Loki. It was all about the multiverse. I watched WandaVision, which started off stale, got great in the middle, ended off like garbage. And it was all leading to the multiverse. And here I am at Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, you missed out Spider-Man, which also is leading up to the multiverse.
Right. And I felt like when I got there, I'm like, so this is what I wasted all this time for? Am I wrong? Am I seeing something wrong? Is something I'm missing? Is the buildup still happening?
I think you're half right. I think, or maybe more than half right. But like, I think there's still some merit in it. But we've had, like you said, we've had WandaVision, which introduced the concept of the multiverse and was, oh, we're opening the multiverse, but sort of did and then also sort of didn't. And we had Spider-Man, which kind of sort of opened the multiverse and, you know, spoilers for Spider-Man if anyone hasn't seen it. But like the big ending of that is it was about to sort of open the multiverse, but then sort of didn't. Loki did open the multiverse. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness also did open the multiverse. How many setups do we actually need? Like the entire of Phase 4 has been repeating. I feel like a big part of the problem is now you've got this split between, you've got your streaming services, you've got your cinema, you've potentially got two different audiences, and they want to make sure everyone is on the same page, everyone knows what's happening. So they're doing the setups in the TV shows. But then in case people don't have Disney Plus, they're having to do the setups again in the movies, which is, you know, you're kind of just repeating yourself over and over just because you've got this like split customer base now.
That's exactly how I feel. I feel like you're giving me the same thing over and over. And I would say hero movies in general are becoming a one-trick pony. I think, for me personally, I think 5 years ago with Endgame, it was like the max. It peaked out. And then I got the Eternals, and I was like, ugh.
Do you know, I never watched Eternals.
Don't.
I heard a few spoilers about the story, and it just killed my enthusiasm for the whole thing. It was just like, it just sounds like kind of a waste of time. It seemed like it dragged. I think I tried to watch it, didn't really get far.
It seemed like I ain't gonna say a money grab, but it seemed like a filler that didn't need to be there. It was just like, okay, once Thanos came, it was it. Y'all should have just killed the Eternals, in my opinion. It was just like, now they gotta explain why they didn't help.
They're really a product of the time. Like, they try to bring them back now and again in the comics, and, you know, they get short runs of comics now and again. They've never really, like, stuck their own series or their own comic, like, very long. They're pretty high concept for a superhero thing. It gets a bit, you know, you're going to lose a lot of, like, a general audience if you try to do, like, a full high concept thing. So they kind of try to walk this middle ground, and it ends up being kind of nothing every time. And that's what this movie sounded like it was. So I will take a bit of issue with like the Doctor Strange one being a, because I'm a big Sam Raimi fan. Grew up on The Evil Dead, absolutely loved it. So when I went to see Multiverse of Madness, it was just kind of great seeing Sam Raimi get to like flex those muscles again and to basically like the guy was clearly using some concepts that he had in mind for Evil Dead 4 that he never got to put on the screen. And he just kind of like, it almost felt like he just sort of reworked his Evil Dead 4 script to like slot it into the MCU. And I was all right with that. Like, I enjoyed it. It was a fun movie. It was a good, like, couple of hours of Sam Raimi doing Sam Raimi's thing. So I enjoyed that. And that musical battle for me between the two Doctor Strangers, that's a highlight.
Now, you said something about splitting the base.
Yeah.
Because Disney has a streaming service, Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Which is bundled with Hulu, ESPN, and ABC if you're in America. And if you're in Japan, it's bundled with Marvel, Pixar, and Stars, which is basically jackleg Hulu.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's been really unclear. This is part of the thing that, because the Hulu, Star gets most of the Hulu stuff in Japan. Star gets most of the American Hulu stuff. So when they were announcing Prey, because we have Hulu in Japan as well, when they were announcing Prey as a Hulu original, and I was seeing all the build-up to it, and I was thinking, I'm really looking forward to this movie, but can I watch it? How can I watch it? Do I have to buy another streaming service? Like, I just, it's so confusing. Like, where do you, like, these days, so many, you see so many articles on the internet now saying, like, the best shows or the best movies on streaming right now and how to watch them. Like, why should I need a tutorial on how to watch a show? Like, this is just getting too much.
Okay, we're here now. Let's just go ahead and stick here because we're here now. Here's my thing. We've made a full circle. We've left TV, we cut the cord, and now we're back at TV. Now it's just internet TV.
Yeah.
It's, you have to have bundles. Like, you got to bundle all these streaming services together to make it more enticing. Netflix is not Netflix anymore. They're talking about bringing in ad-based revenue, which is basically just TV.
I'll say, as I said to you before we started recording, also Disney are introducing this ad-based service now, the lower price ad-based service. I don't know how you are with your TV history, but you might know, you probably know, being American, that like American cable TV followed the exact same trajectory. It came in first being like, we've got the good shows, we don't have the ads, there's no commercials, it's commercial free. Then it was like, well, we'll offer a lower price, but with commercials, we'll have the options. And then eventually they take away the option to have no commercials and they slap on the top tier price with commercials. And then they start doing the bundles, and like the streaming services now are following this exact same trajectory. So what's kind of worrying me is we are like 5 years away from just that nightmare era of 90s cable.
Oh, what's going to happen is something new is going to emerge. And I think the new is going to be TikTok. I think TikTok is killing these streaming services. I feel like so I'm kind of sympathetic. I don't know how you survive as a Disney or Netflix or Paramount, which I haven't even begin to even look at Paramount. That's another story. But I don't know how you survive in a world where you are just generating content for free.
Well, it's about the quality of the content and the cost of the content and how shiny it is, right?
You think people care, though?
I think enough people care that it will keep the subscription services going. Enough people care to put enough money into it to keep those businesses going. Mm. The profitability of those businesses is a bit of a question mark, but definitely enough for them to keep going, for sure. You know, you look at worldwide audiences, there are enough people around the world watching the same Disney movies, whereas you look at, you know, TikTok or Instagram or whatever, you know, what people are watching in Japan is not what people are watching in America, is not what people are watching in England. You know, the whole having something big that captures like a worldwide audience will bring in enough money to keep it going. I don't think the industry is in danger because of amateurs doing amateur things. Like, not to say, like, I watch a lot of like YouTube stuff myself and I find it very entertaining, but also a lot of the YouTube I watch is people, you know, they're riffing on the big things or they're doing reviews of the big things or talking points about the, you know, the big expensive movies or games or whatever other media.
Top Gun Maverick was a traditional release and a traditional movie that actually went to the box office and it did great, but I think that's an outlier. I think I feel like theaters are dying. I personally, if I can avoid going to a theater, I will. It's something about the atmosphere, the setup, going there, you got the big speakers and being communal. But me personally, with HBO Max, we got new releases on our platform. Like, yeah, Finally, I don't have to go to the theater.
I'm a little bit different on that one because I like the cinema experience. I like going to the movie theater, having my, you know, my popcorn and my soda and sitting down with like the big, I like the noise and the flashing lights. You know, I can go and watch a movie, almost any, not any movie, actually. I've seen a few real duds in the last few years, but like most, even if I watch a bad movie though, like on the big screen with the great sound systems, you know, like if you go to a good cinema, I'll walk out just feeling like I had a good time. In Japan, we're way behind the rest of the world on releases this year. Jurassic World 3 just came out. I haven't had a chance to go and see it myself yet because I was down with the dreaded COVID when it actually got released last week. But I'm going to go and see it. And I know it's had terrible reviews. I know it looks like an awful movie. I know like the script's just going to be such a dud. But massive dinosaurs on the screen, big roars from that sound system. I'm going to have a good time.
They squeezing the hell out those lemons. How many movies can you make?
But that's it. But it's like a theme park to me now. It's like I've done such a like 180 because like a year ago, 2 years ago, when was it Scorsese that made the comment about them being like theme park rides?
Yes.
And I was like, because that was leading up to Endgame, I was like, no, these still have legitimate stories to tell. But I mean, I've got to give it to him now. He saw the way it was going. Not maybe not where it was at the time. He sort of jumped the gun a bit, but I think we're there now. I think we're at the theater is a theme park experience. I want to find a cinema that has that whole 4D thing for Jurassic World with like the shaky chairs and all that kind of stuff.
I don't need that, man. I don't need the shaky chairs and the gimmicks for my movie.
Well, that was the exact point that I realized that I was not looking forward to going and watching a movie. I was looking forward to going on a ride.
The experience.
Right.
Exactly. The immersive experience.
Yeah, now this is where streaming can come in. I think you said like streaming's kind of killing it for you and you're not enjoying or you're not looking forward to the things. I think this is where streaming can come in really like useful for the art of the media, or it can do. I mean, the algorithm, I'll talk about that in a minute, but you know, they do have or did have certainly some more experimental movies, some more interesting movies, a few more like out there things go straight to streaming now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a lot of money in the streaming now. They're well made, they're well produced. The only issue that you have with the more artistic things is they're not hard enough on the edits. They're not tight enough on the edits. Like normally the movies are a fair bit longer than they need to be. They've got a bit of bloat that they could just cut down. And you watch the Netflix movies and it's always like, man, that could have just been an amazing movie with just one more pass through the editing suite.
Okay, so this is a thing that I have noticed because I'm writing a movie myself. I'm actually got a movie workshop right now. And
yeah,
we're trying to get that popping. I started writing the script as a short film with a movie idea. I sent it in to be at workshop and the people instantly told me, okay, so what are we doing? Are we doing a full length or are we doing a series? I was like, but it's just supposed to be a movie. They're like, no. Okay. So if it's a movie, we can break it down to a series and you have to add more to it because now everybody is leaning towards streaming. And I'm just like, but it's a movie. Why don't we just do it as a movie? They're like, no. You got to be open to it, Marcus. We might have to make this a series. And free spoiler alert about my movie, the hero died at the end. And it's like, no, change that because we might need a season 2. I was like, okay. I get it. I get the hustle now. Everything is a series. So I'm pretty sure a lot of these movies you're watching on Netflix, they were just meant to be a one-off. My great example of this is Stranger Things. I feel like they wasn't expecting a third season.
No, I don't think they were.
Exactly. When you look at the fourth season, as good as some people say it is, I don't really like it, but as good as some people say it is, a bunch of plot holes. A whole lot of them.
Everyone's been raving about Stranger Things season 4. I watched it to the end. I loved the ending, actually. I really got into it by the end of the season. The first episode's like an hour and a half. The second episode also was like an hour and some change. And it was almost all completely unnecessary. Like, it could have been done. They could have done that setup. All you need to know, like, yeah, Elle's a bit of an outsider at school. She's not fitting in. Like, she's got a few bullies. They needed some excuse to kind of, like, take her off the board for a bit. They need an excuse with like the, yeah, let's have her like get in trouble with the law. Introducing Eddie Munson, who's like, that was the only part of that first like 3 hours of it that I enjoyed, was that guy's acting is just right out there.
Oh, he did great. I must say, he was like one of the most enjoyable parts of Stranger Things 4.
I mean, that guy did absolutely every scene he was in. That guy just stole every scene he was in. He was absolutely amazing. The first like two episodes, that could have been 45 minutes. Basically, the entire first two episodes could have been 45 minutes. Like, why are they making me waste 3 hours of my life on 45 minutes of story? And this is exactly what you're saying. You had a movie, an idea, a good, solid idea that you're like fitting into this time, and they want you to stretch it into 10 hours for the money. And I mean, like, you know, great if you can do that, and if you can get a series and stuff, like, yeah, amazing. Be a great kind of turnaround. But artistically, I think sometimes people have a story to tell. The story works way better within its own limits. And the more you pad it out and keep the guy alive and keep it running, the more it just drops off. You lose all of the artistic integrity and you're just a slave to the algorithm that's just telling you to keep making what people already know they've seen and already know they enjoyed before, without ever giving people a chance to find something they might enjoy that's new or anything original or anything different to enjoy.
You just hit the nail on the head, right? And this goes to your point about the algorithm. And I think the problem with streaming in general, we've gotten into this weird thing when streaming first got out that Netflix was looking to buy everything, like everything, like give me script. And they was overvaluing and overpaying for a lot of things.
Yeah.
But that's because they was the only show in town. Everybody has caught up to the car now. So I think there's been a big conservative push. I think you're going to see a lot of pulling back of budgets because ironically, I was hard on this. Me and Alex Hunter, when we did a random show, we talked about Cowboy Bebop, the live action show coming out.
Yeah. I caught a bit of that.
And I thought it was going to be garbage. I literally thought it was going to be garbage, but it was good. Like, it had problems. It had its flaws, but it was good. But what killed that was the budget. And I think that's going to kill a lot of things. So you're going to see a lot of these shows like stripping down to, for lack of a better word, souped up YouTube.
It's already happening with Netflix especially. So Netflix had, obviously, they made a few missteps. They had that big announcement about the price going up, and the Netflix shares plummeted this year. They absolutely, I mean, the whole stock market's down. We're in a big kind of economic collapse. So, you know, you don't really think like, oh, why is it going to be affected? But all of these decisions now, everything is decided by the algorithm. The algorithm is decided by money, and the money is not going well this year. So they're all pulling back. Netflix has been axing shows left, right, and center. Shows that performed quite well in the first or second season, they had them slated for a, you know, second or third season to continue. They've cut them. They've cut like a whole bunch of shows. Disney have been dealing with it a different way. Disney have stopped paying dividends to the shareholders for the last like few years at this point. Mm-hmm. And they've just been plowing all of their profit, everything that they've got, they've been just plowing back into Disney Plus.
Yes, ask me how I know. They don't pay dividends. Ask me how I know.
Right.
Because I have got some shares in Disney.
I got shares in Disney too.
Yeah, it's like, I was like, dude, y'all not paying dividends anymore? Come on.
I kind of stuck with it. I got the shares in Disney. I stuck with my shares in Disney because I kind of figure like Disney Plus looked like it was going to be a monster. Give it a few years, it's probably going to start really like racking up and paying the dividends. And I think it'll be a good long-term thing.
This is why I invested in Disney, because out of all the streaming giants I see, and I saw they made that hard pivot to streaming, and people said, that was crazy, you shouldn't do that. But now, honestly, with the addition of Hulu, Star, Pixel, Marvel, Disney, and I think they got one more I'm missing. Yeah, ESPN. They're the best streaming service, in my opinion. Like, they're the best, especially for your money.
The one that I watch the most these days is Disney Plus. As I said just before, I came down with COVID a few weeks back. I did a lot of streaming over the last few weeks. I think the vast majority of it was on Disney Plus. That's where I go for most of the movies, most of the TV shows. Bob's Burgers,
I love Bob's Burger. Yeah. I've been on American Dad. I just watch it on repeat.
I never got into Bob's Burgers. I'd never seen it until I got Disney Plus this year. And everyone always raved about it. So I finally got on, gave it a chance. And now it is one of my favorite shows of all time. Absolutely amazing. If anyone out there hasn't seen Bob's Burgers, it's on Disney Plus. definitely get on it. But yeah, I've been watching a lot of those. I find though, for I like watching weird little, you know, crappy B movies and stuff. Stuff with like terrible plasticine looking sharks and that kind of nonsense. So like Amazon tends to be the best for that. Amazon Prime is where I go for that stuff.
One thing about Amazon, and I will give them credit for this, they are very welcoming of emerging, upcoming directors and people who are actually trying to put their content out.
Yeah, I mean, it shows in the kind of stuff that, like, when I say I like to watch some, like, interesting little low-budget stuff, I feel like Amazon, I can find that stuff on Amazon still. I don't know if it exists on Netflix at all anymore, because I know the algorithm with Netflix, it's there to make me watch more of what I've already watched. And I find it really hard to find just an interesting little thing that I'm just in the mood for. Like, my moods will change. Like, I tend to go through phases. Like, last year, I watched all of the Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Halloween movies, just all back to back. About a year before that, I watched like about a solid month of rom-coms. Like, I'll just go through these little phases of binging, just like having like a mood that I just want to watch this kind of movie for a while. Like, you know, every Western that I can get my hands on for a while. And it's hard to do that with the algorithm pushing you towards the same thing that you've been watching for the last couple of months. Like, you can't even find the stuff.
An algorithm is just a set of instructions that are triggered by certain things you're doing on the platform or the program. So if you are watching a lot of anime, it's going to keep on dumping anime at you because their job is to keep you on the screen longer. And with these ads coming in, I think that's just like why they're refining. With these ads coming in, that's going to be a lot of their revenue, I think. Well, lost revenue.
It's hard to know how they're going to pull out of it or if they're going to pull out of it because I don't know how people are going to accept the ad services. Are people going to take it? I mean, I would rather pay more money and keep it ad-free myself. But I don't want to have these constant price increases, of course. But then, you know, that's the way it's going, isn't it? So you have that choice at a certain level. What is your price cutoff where ads then become worth it for you?
I put it like this. I will be an elite. I'm an elitist. I will pay that extra $5 to $10. I'm at a point in my life where I have enough disposable income to be like, okay, Netflix, how much is it going to be? Don't go over this price. Because if you adding a cheaper ad tier keeps my price the same, I'm with it. Because truth be told, the reason why I left Hulu first was because Netflix had better content and the price kept on going up at Hulu. Yeah. I was like, man, why is the price going up? So like when Hulu bundled with Disney went on and bought it, it became better. But before, if you guys remember, this is back in the day, the first like real streaming service was Hulu, but it had an ad-supported model.
Also in Japan, especially that being where we are, like Hulu was bigger for longer. Yes. Netflix took longer to take off here. I did the exact same thing as you. I had Hulu. And then at first I had Hulu and Netflix. And then Hulu, as you say, they kept putting the price up. The content wasn't all that great and for what I was paying. And I just thought, well, Netflix has got more on it per month than I'm even going to watch. Like if anything comes on Hulu, maybe I'll get it for a month again or something. But I never did. I just cut it and never resubscribed to Hulu at all. And if Netflix keeps pushing up the way it is now, then I'll probably just be like, well, Disney Plus is good enough for me. They've got the star stuff as well. Like I'll cut Netflix. And if Disney Plus keeps going that way, then whatever streaming service appears next to compete with them, probably I'll cut out and move. It's going to go on like that. I mean, of course, the other thing is piracy is on the rise again.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, and it's not because of the money. I don't think it's because of the money. I think it's because of these. The money's part of it. But I think the main thing is you go to a pirate streaming site, you go to like a BitTorrent site or whatever, all of the shows are there on the one site. You can find all the shows in one place. They said like people will pay for convenience. People are willing to pay for convenience. Piracy will not be the first option. If you make stuff available, not cheaply necessarily, but you know, reasonable. It's reasonable, it's easily available. People will pay for convenience before they'll break the law. But if you make something too inconvenient, then people are going to break the law just because it's the convenience that they're looking for, not the saving money.
That's actually kind of spot on. And a good example of this is Spotify. Spotify has one of the most beautiful UI and UXs ever. Actually, the audio quality isn't that great. Apple Music audio quality is way better than Spotify. Right. But what draws me to Spotify is the catalog. Everything is just laid out. You can find everything you want simply, and all the songs are there, it's in theory.
So easy. Yeah. So easy. All my music, all my podcasts, everything, like almost anything. If Spotify's got it, I'm using Spotify to listen to it these days. And I know that's kind of, they've got their issues because they don't really pay the artists properly. And
they don't.
Like, yeah.
But
yeah.
Nobody does.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's always been the case, hasn't it? That's why they say if you want to support a band, buy the merch.
Yo, if you like the Common Knowledge Podcast, check out the Random Show hosted with me and the homie, Alex Lex Caliber Hunter. On the Random Show, we talk about random shit. Follow us on Instagram at Random. That's RANDUMB. Random. Yo, what's up, DJ L Spade, Common Knowledge Podcast. If you like my podcast, maybe you'll like my music too. I humbly ask that you go listen to my music on Spotify, Apple Music, or other music streaming service providers. Thank you. Talk about the DC Universe. I really want to talk about how, like, what is the DC Universe doing? Is it a thing? Like, they're cutting all these shows, and I think it's a, once again, it's budget. I think capitalism is going to be the answer to all these questions. Like,
you know me, man. Like, I'm like a bachata dancer. Like, that's my thing, right? Leslie Grace, Batgirl, is one of my all-time favorite singers. And I was, like, so looking forward to seeing, like, because, like, her bachata, I love her bachata stuff. So I was, like, really, like, looking forward to seeing her as Batgirl. And then I'm like, oh, seriously? Seriously? I'm not going to get to see Leslie Grace do Batgirl anymore? That sucks so hard.
Like, maybe I'm making this a race thing, because it's not a race thing, but it was going to be super interesting. I thought Batgirl was always Commissioner Gordon's daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know how this one was going to work. I didn't know the storyline, and I don't have much faith in DC because they don't make bad movies. They just don't make good movies.
Yeah, well, the Batman was good.
The new one with the vampire?
Yeah, until the last half hour.
See, I haven't watched that yet. And once again, I'm a Batman fan, but I haven't watched it because this is me. I was just like, Rob? Is that the guy? Like, is he Batman? Because I've been seeing a rotation of too many damn Batmans. To me, I saw Christian Bale. Yeah, yeah. Then I saw Ben Affleck, who actually didn't do that bad. I think Ben Affleck gets a bad rap. He didn't do that bad.
I'm a Ben Affleck defender. I enjoyed Ben Affleck's Batman. I stand by that. I thought he had the same problem that Pierce Brosnan had as Bond, that he was like a good Bond or good Batman in bad movies.
That is perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
That is perfect. I'm sorry. That is perfect. Because, all right, Christian Bale, one of the greatest actors of our time. I will say that. And the Nolan movies were at times a bit confusing, a bit, like, pretentious, but great. Great movies, right? That's what Nolan does. The first two. Exactly. First two. But I ain't gonna say it was a DC Universe, Entertainment Universe, but the ones Ben Affleck was in, the movies made no damn sense. And you had spin-offs.
Yeah, the DCEU, right?
DCEU, right? It makes no damn sense, dude. Like, even the Suicide Squad ones. I'm like, how did this all entangle? It just seemed like they're just doing stuff.
Yeah, and they sort of like were like trying to do Marvel and then not trying to do Marvel and trying to make it all one combined universe, but also not at the same time, and they didn't know what they were doing, and they were just trying to chase that money rather than trying to make good movies. And it was just like so obvious on screen. If you watch the Snyder Cut of Justice League, it's, you know, it's a much more solid story and experience, and it tells a much better story. Like, you know, whether or not it would have had merit as a movie, or whether that should have just been filmed as a series in the first place, or, you know, you get into a whole other like load of stuff with that. But it's like, if they just brought it together from the beginning, it could have really, like, if they'd had some direction for the beginning, it could have worked really well. Or if they just had like faith in their movies. But a big part is apparently Warner Brothers would give people creative control, panic. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's when you get your bad movie. You either give creative control or you keep it. You don't do this middle ground because then you end up with nothing. I know that they've been taken over by the guy from Discovery.
Discovery, yeah.
Or at least like the DC side of it has been like taken over, like full. I forget the guy's name, but he's taken full creative control, which is why Batgirl got cancelled. Like he's the guy that like he slashed a bunch of stuff because he wants to refocus on theatrical releases and he wants to make it, you know, more of like a premium brand again. Because I think for the last, 15 years or so now, like the big Warner Brothers stuff has been like the direct-to-video animation and the CW shows, and the ones that people have been actually like responding to and liking haven't been the theatrical releases. And he wants to make it like a premium brand again. So I can kind of understand. I can understand the financial decisions behind it. I just think it's completely artistically bankrupt.
So you really want to see Batgirl that much, huh?
It's not even that. That's it's coming across that way, right?
But yeah, I really want to see Batgirl. Like, I'll never forgive you.
He might have been absolutely right. He might have watched it and just been like, this movie is a dumpster fire. I'm not letting anyone see it. Maybe it was terrible. I don't know.
I think it was going to be garbage. I ain't gonna lie. DC doesn't have a good track record, man. Like, the best movies they've made, in my opinion. I'm reluctant to say this, but the first Aquaman was probably the best one. And the rest of them, I could have did with or did without. Take it back. The first Wonder Woman was awesome.
I didn't like it.
Did you not?
I hated it because it was a World War One movie. The only reason it was a World War One movie was because Captain America had just come out and that was a World War II movie. And they didn't want people saying that they were just copying Captain America by doing another World War II movie. So they moved it to World War One and they tried to pretend that the German army in World War One were Nazis. They tried to act like they were like...
They weren't. That was World War II.
And that was World War II. It was a completely separate war. Like the whole... The first World War was like way more of a European royal family squabble that piled up really unfortunate dead bodies on both sides. It wasn't Nazis. So when they were pretending, like the way they were talking about them being Nazis, like, you know, me growing up in England, like right where these wars happened, had families fought in, well, you know, all my family were in World War II. It hit me wrong. It really annoyed me that they were kind of like selling it as that. I'm just like, this movie's just like trying to be a World War II movie. And why didn't they just admit it and make it World War II? I would have enjoyed it much more in that case.
That's definitely a reason to make the movie bonk. Now that I think about it from that perspective, like, yeah, you're right. I'm like, that actually makes all the sense in the world. How do you think Black Adam going to turn out?
I like watching The Rock do his thing, so I'll probably enjoy it. It's going to be just another one, isn't it? It's going to be another one. So
it's Jungle Cruise. I mean, it's a Rampage.
I just like Jumanji. Jungle Cruise and Rampage and Jumanji.
I mean, The Rock is The Rock, dude. He has a certain presence about him, and you know what you're going to get. It's not like high top level acting. It's the same thing. He's the same guy in every movie. But like you said, he's a standard. You know what you're going to get. He'll be the president in 20 years.
I enjoyed that Shazam movie, actually. I enjoyed it a lot more than I enjoyed Aquaman. And
I forgot about Shazam. You're right. Shazam was decent.
Yeah. That was a real different thing. And, you know, Black Adam's a Shazam character, right?
Yes.
So they are at some point going to put those two together. And
yeah, basically Venom.
And The Rock's always fun to watch. Like, seeing those two together should be fun. Like, because we're definitely going that way. So I'll look forward to that one. But DC stuff. We'll see. We'll see what this new Discovery guy does.
I can hear in the back of your head, like, but I really kind of want to see Batgirl.
I was actually thinking, like, you should go and see The Batman, because you should check it out. It's really good. And you can see where the movie sort of, like, it's really good up to the point where I was like, this is where the movie should have ended. But then it goes on for an extra half hour because they needed a big splashy finish scene, big splashy action at the end. I was like, but you were telling this great personal story and it really worked. And then it ended at this point and it was great. And then they were like, but we've got a big splashy action scene for you.
I will watch it, but I feel like we're getting close to the metaverse. They're going to try to copy the metaverse and you're going to have like Michael Keaton playing old Batman versus Robert Pattinson playing new Batman with Christian Bale. Did you know Bale. That
Michael Keaton was in Batgirl as an alternate universe Batman?
See, there you go. See?
Right, so you're absolutely right. And they've backed themselves into a corner, though, because the way they're going to try and bring this all together is with the Flash movie. But the problem with the Flash movie
is went crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Ezra Miller's been a problem, a huge, huge problem. And they...
Creed has lost his damn mind up in here.
Ezra Miller's been a massive problem for them. But they're still pushing ahead with that movie, I think. As far as I've heard, like, they're still pushing ahead with it.
Yeah, because they got too much riding on it, of course. It's like, yo, yes, you got kids with guns and houses and you beating up people in Hawaii and karaoke, but who cares? Like, yeah, we got too much riding on this. You got to push this movie out. Then we get rid of you. Capitalism, baby.
They are relying on that movie to to bring their different shit together and make their multiverse into a... Like, DC Comics did this a lot. They'd have, like, all these multiverses, and then they'd have, like, a big event that brings it all back together and destroys all the previous continuity so that new readers could jump on the comics. And we're at the point with movies and entertainment that they're doing the same thing with the movies now, and they've put too much money into Ezra Miller. Like, my solution to this was just, like, reshoot all of the dude's scenes except, like, leading up to the first time that he, like, breaks the speed barrier and goes into the multiverse. And as soon as he breaks that speed barrier, just like click, different actor, change it over and be like one throwaway line about like, oh, something happened to me going through the multiverse. Now I'm not Ezra Miller anymore. End.
You need to hire you for consulting, man. So a real quick synopsis of what you think the future of streaming is going. Where do you see streaming in the next 5 years?
I'm worried for it, to be honest. I think we're going to get 5 good years of entertaining, but ultimately kind of empty. It's going to be like junk food TV for about 5 years with the occasional gem thrown in. And then we're going to be right back to mid-90s cable level bundles, subscriptions, commercials, and no cheaper options. That'll be the top tier options.
All right, so I'm along with you. So this is what I think is going to happen as a wild card. Everything you just said, and I will add this. So in the next 5 years, streaming is going to go to shit. I truly believe that. And what's going to take its place, in my humblest of opinions, is augmented reality. Not the metaverse from Facebook, but I do think augmented reality is going to be the next move. I think you're going to have... some kind of, because Apple's talking about doing glasses right now, but you're going to have some kind of headwear, not the Oculus. The Oculus is a little too clunky for me and a little disoriented, but you're going to have somebody to perfect the headset or some kind of immersive thing that's actually going to add you into the metaverse and make you, for the lack of better words, interact with people virtually. I think that's going to be the next move. I think it's kind of over for the video medium as it stands now. I think that's going to be integrated into this quote-unquote metaverse, but I think that's the next push now. Am I wrong, or am I seeing something crazy here?
Now, the thing is, you've just brought up a topic that is a long and detailed one, and I think I would have to get into VR, current VR headsets, where the technology's at, where the price is at. I don't think augmented reality is going to be the next move. I think it's potentially going to be a move down the road, but I think it's like way further ahead than you're thinking.
Really? You don't think we can get there in 5 years?
No, definitely not. I mean, look at the size of the headsets now. Look at what the comfort of... Also, you've got to consider basic human nature. People don't want to come home and relax at the end of the day by putting a headset on, especially with the current weights of the headsets. The restrictions of the sizes of people's homes, like there's so much to unpack there. Actually, like I've listened to a few breakdowns of it recently, and they've gone on for like hours at a time. There's like so much to unpack, and I think we're quite a long way away from having something that is convenient and relaxing to put on your head that makes you immersed in a way like that. I think it'll become an increasingly larger niche. But it's still very much, virtual reality is still very, very much a niche hobby right now.
Okay, I'll put this out here. I am a frugal person. And I bought a pair of wireless headphones. They broke in 2 weeks. So I bought another pair. And the pair I bought was around $60. Right. And bought them. They broke in 2 weeks. So I bought another pair because they were $60. They broke in 2 weeks. And I'm telling you this story because I bought those cheap headphones because I didn't want to spend the $400 to buy Apple AirPods. I was like, I'm not going to buy these AirPods. I'm not going to buy them. So I'm going to buy something cheap and comparable. I looked at the specs and it said these were comparable. All right. First, I put these wireless headphones in. They ripped some of my skin going in because the ear plugs were just crap. They broke in 2 weeks. I actually took both of the boxes, no lie, sent them back to the manufacturer. They sent me an apology letter, replaced both headphones. I kid you not. The new headphones only lasted a month and they broke. All right. I'm getting to the distance. Work, cook with me. I'm getting to a point.
Right.
So I got pissed off. I was like, you know what? I'm done with these. I'm not doing it anymore. Like, these are shit. So I actually ponied up the dough and bought some AirPods. And let me tell you, it's the most comfortable, the most, like, functional. It works with my iPhone. I don't know they're in my ear. The noise cancellation is great. When I have a message, it pops up and tells me you have a message, and it reads the message out to me. I can dictate. It is a part of my life now. And that is augmented reality to a point. And Apple is coming out with glasses. And they have a watch. The watch is shitty. Okay? Yeah. You can admit, the watch is shitty. Right? But if you have something that can integrate your phone, your watch, your AirPods with some glasses, dude, I think we're there. I don't think we're that far off.
I mean, I can mock the Apple iPhone because I'm not a big Apple fan. I don't use any Apple products at all. But I do use a Fitbit, so, you know, I should lay off it, really, because I can say it's shitty, but I want to track all my fitness and track all my stuff with that. So it's, I'm already on that as well. I'm on, it's definitely a trajectory that we're on. You know, I've got a nice pair of JBL wireless pods myself. I looked at the $60 ones. Like you said, they're not well constructed. And, you know, like yourself, like I'm at a certain point in my life now where I am comfortable enough that I can understand that I don't want to get myself in the poverty trap, you know, where you end up, you know, like they say, like you buy a good pair of boots, it'll last your entire life. I think that was a Terry Pratchett one. You buy a good pair of boots that, you know, like you said, they cost that money, but they last you your entire life. Or you buy 100 pairs of shitty boots and, you know, you end up over your lifetime spending so much more. So, you know, poor people spend more money because they can't afford to get the nice things that last well. That is why it's called the poverty trap.
It's so true. And I see that, just to make it to streaming too, do you think this lower tier streaming service, they're going to deny some programming? Because I would.
I think they're not. It depends on what you mean by deny. They're going to have limited early release for top tier. Like a 1 month earlier on the top tier. Like they tried with that the movie they put out on Disney Plus that they wanted you to pay extra for, which was that the, I forget Black which Widow? One that was now.
It's the Black Widow one. They did that one.
Was it? They did it with a few, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, Scarlett Johansson took them to war and won. So props to her.
No, that was over simultaneous release, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because that was supposed to be, I don't mean simultaneous release. There was another one on Disney Plus. I think it was animation. I don't know why I'm not remembering. Not Soul. It was earlier than that. There was one where it might have been the Mulan re-release. Anyway, it's not important which one it is, but they were charging us a fee, like a one-time watch fee, like Amazon has for the movies that are not included in the subscription, a rental fee for one of their movies on top of the premium subscription price.
That was Mulan, because me and the lady friend at the time, was thinking about watching it because that's my favorite Disney princess. I was like, yeah, Mulan, and plus Jet Li's the king. I'm gonna watch this, and it was like $35. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'll wait.
Yeah, exactly. So the stuff they consider premium, they're trying it. They're already trying it with stuff like that. They're seeing what people will accept. They're pushing it. It's always like this. It's a slow push. They're pushing it. Like, we're not going to make you have the ads. We're just going to have a cheaper subscription that has some ads, 4 minutes an hour for Disney Plus. Oh, but you'll save some money. And then it's like, ah, oh, but if you pay the top tier, then you'll get this a month earlier. And that'll be, oh, well, our prices are going up again now. And then eventually it'll be, oh, well, we're going to have 1 minute of ads per month for the top tier and 5 minutes of ads per month for the lower tier. And they'll just creep it. They'll just push it and see how much people will accept. And the longer they do that, the more people will think that's normal. And they'll forget how it used to be. Like, we've forgotten it with video games a long time ago. You get a video game. It was on your disc, on your cartridge. That was your game. You had everything in there.
Days go.
Now it's like you buy the DLC, you buy the loot boxes, you buy like all of the micropayments. Like, it, you know, it, we all know how insane it's gone.
You definitely went to the freemium model. We definitely did. You 4 minutes, an hour, you say, for Disney ads?
That's, I believe that's what I read, yeah. 4 minutes an hour.
That is insane. I don't watch as much TV as I used to, like, during, like, the heat of the pandemic. During the heat of the pandemic, like, I was just watching everything. I think everybody was. But now I would say a week, maybe I watch, if I'm lucky, I'm not busy, maybe 5 to 8 hours a whole week. And I'm trying to think, adding that up, 4 minutes an hour, that's going to be like, what, an extra 32 minutes that I can't watch shows, which in a year probably add up.
Now, that's the thing, isn't it? It's the people, it's that time versus money. You know, how much is your time worth to you? Are you willing to pay the extra for your time? You know, that is something that, you know, guaranteeing on us counting in. And that's why they think we'll accept it. People who are on lower income, they earn less an hour. They value their time at how much they earn, potentially. They're willing to give up 30 minutes to get the lower price. People on a medium income or average income, they're probably not willing to give up those extra minutes for the lower price, so they'll pay the higher price. But it's going to be a slow creep towards 5 minutes an hour. 6, 7, 8, 9, premium has 2 minutes an hour. You know, it's going to be a slow creep. As people accept it, and as people start to feel that was how the service is run, that's the normal way for the service to be run, they'll try the next little push. The problem with Mulan, I think that was, they tried to push too hard, too fast, and people pushed back.
Yes, it was too quick for me. Because, once again, paying for Disney Plus and then paying on top of that, I'm just not there yet. Get there. And
yes, my kids, the important word.
Yeah, my kids may get there. My kids may, oh, this is natural. This is what we do. We want that premium service. It's like getting a new Fortnite skin for them. Like, yeah, of course I'll pay for this extra, man. But for me, I'm like, no, I'm not going to pay on top of paying. I'm old.
It took about 15 years for us to get there from the PlayStation 3 generation, the start of the PlayStation 3 generation to now. It's about 15 years. That's how long it took for us to get from I am paying for these skins to a whole generation that don't remember any other way.
This is why history is so important.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I saw it with music. I see it with the video games. I see it with streaming. But look, Netflix is already trying to get into video games. Whoever can find a way to integrate, and Spotify, I think, is maybe the closest right now. Matter of fact, if Spotify and Netflix actually joint forces, they could rule the world. They could beat Disney. But whoever can integrate video games, music, podcasts, along with a YouTube-like or access to YouTube and the movies, they're going to rule the world. And I think maybe Bezos can do it because he is real life Lex Luthor, but that is going to be the move.
I think obviously Disney, Time Warner, AOL, Discovery, whatever they are now, like the companies, they're paring down. They're eating up. Microsoft is becoming a juggernaut. They own Blizzard. Amongst so many others, they've been buying up left, right, and center. Like, these companies are, they're working towards monopoly. they're all working towards monopoly. And the more they work towards monopoly, the more money they've got, the more pull they've got in the government, and the more chance they've got to kind of start working around monopolies commissions and start working around the laws. And it's a scary proposition to go from like thinking about streaming to thinking about people literally taking over every aspect of our lives. But it's connected.
Okay, I'm antitrust. I'm an antitrust guy. I think you need to break up Amazon and AWS. I feel like Facebook shouldn't own Instagram or WhatsApp. I feel like you need to break these people up. Google shouldn't own YouTube. Look, how stupid is that? The company you have to go to buy ads actually like determine. They can determine like whatever ad goes on YouTube. If you're a competitor to Google, you know what? Maybe this ad doesn't get top tier. Like, that's stupid. So I do believe in antitrust. However, I will say, on the flip side, sometimes, consolidation is good. Because I think we got too many of these services popping up. Like, once again, once you got a Paramount, I'm like, and then Warner Brothers was trying to get their streaming service. Thank God it failed, and they just got sucked up by Discovery and HBO Max. But,
Some
of these services need to leave.
Yeah, I mean, consolidation was good at first. Netflix was the ideal consolidation. But then, of course, everyone wants a piece of the pie. So it's a race to monopoly again. And that leads to, of course...
Before I let you go, Dan, what do you recommend the people watching? What are you watching? What's the new hot-ish coming out? And what should people be looking out for?
I'm going back to old shows, so maybe I'm sort of on the same thing as you at the minute. I've been enjoying the Star Wars shows lately. They're not without problems, but they've been a lot more fun than... I've been having a lot more fun with them than I have with the Marvel shows.
What, you watching the woke Star Wars where people of different races are actually in it?
Yeah.
Isn't that not a problem for you, you wokest, woke and woke guy?
Yeah, I'm being so woke. It's not just Lando Calrissian and literally nobody else in the entire galaxy.
Only black anymore. Guy in the universe.
Right. I enjoyed the new Obi-Wan. I watched it. It was the one show that I've watched like week by week as it came out, and I enjoyed it. As I say, it's not without its problems. It's not without a lot of dumb stuff, and it's not even an entirely necessary story, but there were enough like nice, fun things in there. It was entertaining. As I said, been watching a lot of Bob's Burgers lately.
So awesome.
The Star Wars thing inspired me to go back because I've got Disney Plus now. I'd never watched the Clone Wars cartoon.
It's great.
It's really good.
Yes.
It's great. So if anyone hasn't watched that, yeah, go back and watch that. On Netflix, again, really old show. I'm watching Avatar The Last Airbender. Pretty entertaining.
That was a Nickelodeon show too. That was like the best Nickelodeon show ever.
Yeah, it's real good. It's real good. And a movie that I watched recently, I would recommend to anyone that likes watching Nick Cage do his Nick Cage thing, Willy's Wonderland.
Which is great. Shout out to Dave. I know the photographer who actually filmed that, man. He actually filmed the movie I was in. She's just a shadow. Now streaming everywhere.
Man, well, I don't know him, but he did a great job, man. It was fantastic. Such an entertaining film. And I'm always willing to watch Nick Cage do his thing. Like, he's a master. He's an absolute, you know, I'm on that side of it. He knows what he's doing.
He had a stint of just doing a lot of stuff, and people he kind of meaned himself by being every movie ever made type situation because he had money problems. But look, I respect a man who's like, yo, I got myself in debt. I need to work myself out. And that may mean taking some roles beneath me. I respect the hell out of that. But that kind of really killed him.
The thing is, you can go and watch his movies and you can see the roles are beneath him, but he never phones it in. The guy is always there and he's always doing what he feels is going to make his thing the most interesting it could possibly be every time.
So much range, too. So much range.
Yeah.
He is not overrated, but he's underappreciated.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Yeah.
Like Ron Perlman. Like much like Ron Perlman. He is so... And I say the same thing about Johnny Depp, too. Did you watch Prey?
Oh, man. I loved Prey. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Can I get your quick review on that before I let you go?
Quick review on Prey. It takes us back to what made the Predator interesting in the first place. It's not too flashy. It's not trying to just put all the money on the screen. They didn't have much money to work with, so they worked within the constraints. And it's a prequel. It doesn't get too bogged down in prequel stuff. There's a couple of nice little callbacks here and there, but it's not as heavily bogged down in it. Like every other Predator sequel has to have a bit of like someone, the last one, The Predator, it was terrible. Like flat delivery of, hey, get to the chopper and just... It's not a good movie, but the money on the screen, I went back and watched The Predator after watching Prey. The money on the screen is immense, and it was such a wasted opportunity. And then you look at Prey, that's this like small, real tight film. There's hardly any, there's not much in the way of cast. It's a small cast. They're using a lot of big open spaces because obviously it's a period piece set in like 1719 and following a Comanche tribe. And it's absolutely back to what made The Predator interesting. It's a fun story. It doesn't outstay its welcome. You know, it's a little over an hour and a half. I would recommend it to any Predator fans. Anyone who enjoyed the first movie, I think, will probably enjoy it. The first two movies, anyone who likes it. And it's just kind of a good sci-fi with elements of horror.
But the hero's a woman. Isn't that too woke?
Oh, yeah, that's way too woke. The weird thing is, I saw the trailer and some of the lines made it like sound terrible. Like they were...
Yeah. It's going to be flat. It did. When you watch the preview did not do the movie justice. I will say that. Kind of like, I don't want to watch this.
Now, here's the thing. Out of context, they sounded like terrible little woke lines. And I think they were probably written with that intention. They were inserted in that intention. But in the context of the scenes, they didn't come across that way at all.
I totally agree. The trailers did not do the movie justice. But I also got to say, I'm like you. I saw Predator and I was burnt. So I was already going into this like... this is going to be garbage. So I was shockingly surprised. I'm like, man, I actually had goosebumps watching it. So yes.
Yeah. Very pleasantly surprised. Really hopeful that they can take this franchise in an interesting direction if they're going to, they are going to go forward with it.
I say, kill it. See that? And then this is where they're messing up. I say, kill it. You're doing too much. You knocked it out the park. Sometimes you have to retire from video game boxes undefeated. Like, this is the time. You're at the top. I think, let it die. You're going to mess it up.
My first choice would be make this the last Predator movie, let it die. But we know they're not going to, so I hope that they take it. I hope they take the good lessons learned from this one and take those forward rather than taking the bad lessons and taking us back to where we were with the Predator.
Damn, capitalism going to kick in. I'm telling you, it's going to be the Predator all over again.
I would imagine so, but at least if we get one more solid movie before that, I'll be happy. 5 good Predator movies, that's good for me.
I would say this, with the addition of all these streaming services and the budget restraints and everybody, the competition is inserted now, so everybody's going to have to cut their budget. I will say, I do think there's going to be a reemergence of good storytelling and innovation, because once again, Netflix can't pay $60 billion for a script anymore. They can't do it anymore. Once again, Cowboy Bebop, I would have liked to see a second season of that, but because of the budget, they couldn't do it. That $700 million wasn't feasible. So I think you're going to get a lot of these good stories, even if it's a big franchise, people who can rewrite the story and breathe some more energy into it. And I hope that's what come out of this damn streaming cycle that we're in right now.
I hope so. I really hope it does, because it's coming back full circle to what I said earlier. I go to the theater for the ride, for the experience. When you take away the flashing lights and the big noises, all you're left with is actors putting across a solid story. And if they can't do that, the film won't fly.
I'm going to end it right there. That's the homie, Daniel Brandon, resident common knowledge TV and entertainment specials, along with the homie Bradley. You got anything popping, Dan, you want to tell them about?
Nothing going on just at the moment. I've got a few things in the works, but I will hold off on those until I've got something a bit more solid with them.
Hey, sounds like an excuse to get back on the show. All right. That's the Common Knowledge Podcast, updated weekly. Thank you guys for rocking with me. Check out my music on Spotify, even though they don't pay me a lot. Just look up DJ L. Spade. Check out the movie I'm in, She's Just a Shadow, streaming on all platforms. Get it on Apple. And yeah, we out. Oh, watch The Random Show on Instagram. That's RANDUMB. Thank you guys very much, and I'm out.